Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Today, we are kicking off our Daring Faith campaign series. And I'm so glad that you're along on this journey with us. And I trust that you're going to jump right into it. Let me give you three things that you should do to make sure you get the full impact of the Daring Faith campaign series into your spirit and into your life. Number one, make sure you are here for all six teaching Sundays that we are going to do. So every Sunday we're going to kick off the teaching for the week, and that will be the basis of everything we do that week. Secondly, you're going to want to get yourself into a small group. Because in the small group, you're going to go further and unpack the Sunday teaching, discuss it, talk about it, ask questions, and dive deeper. And you're going to do that in a community with other people who want to grow in their faith as well. And so we invite you to do that. And like I've told you many times, if you're not in a small group, the Daring Faith campaign series is the best time for you to test drive a small group. It's a 6-week commitment. You're not signing up for life. 6 weeks. But I'm sure when those 6 weeks are done, you're going to so enjoy it and want to keep going. And third thing you should do is do the daily devotionals. Starting today, there is a daily devotional, one per day for the next 40 days, and you'll find them in the study guide. And here's the study guide for Daring Faith. You'll also find in here, fill in the blanks that go with each of our Sunday teachings. So if you've already got a book, you want to grab it and make sure you have it handy with you this morning. Also, as you may have noticed on the study guide, it's written by Pastor Rick Warren. And so we want to thank him for making this study guide available to us and for our use. And in order to follow along with all the material in there, we are going to follow along all the notes and teaching that he provides to us. And so all of our Sunday teachings are based on the work of Rick Warren. We want to give him full credit for what we're embarking on. And I don't want you to think that we at Highway have written this material. We've taken his material. We've made it our own, and we're doing it the best way that suits us, but he is the original author and the brain behind this whole Daring Faith campaign series. Now let's talk about Daring Faith for a moment. We're all encouraged. We all love the challenge and of Daring Faith stories. And I want to draw one to your attention. We find it in the Bible in Daniel chapter 3. We've kind of nicknamed this story the story of the fiery furnace. But let me tell you what it is. It's a story of daring faith. And so you see, in Babylon, who was the ruling nation of the time, King Nebuchadnezzar was their king. And he had this great idea that he'd make a 90-foot statue, an image, an idol, if you would. It was 90 feet high. It was 9 stories high. And then he gathered all of his government officials, and the Bible lays out 7 layers of officials. He invites them all to this big area where the image is set up, and he says, when the music plays, you're all to bow down to this image or to this idol, and you're to worship it, you're to bow down to it. And when you do so, you're pledging alliance to Babylon, the nation, the empire, and to me, the king. And so that's what happened. They gathered all the people. Now he warned them, if you do not bow, if you do not pledge allegiance, you will be executed. We will throw you into a furnace, a fiery furnace, a heated furnace. It was a way of execution. And so that's what they were told. So people gathered, lots and lots of people, and the music played, and the people bowed, except for 3 people. Now, we're told that some of the officials went to the king and said, oh, king, you know, you passed this edict that we ought to all bow, but we want you to know there were 3 Jewish men who did not bow. And the Bible says this made the king furious, and he called these 3 men before him. They were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he called them before him, and he said, listen, guys, you're probably didn't understand what I said. So here's the plan. We're going to give you a second chance. We're going to gather everybody. We're going to play the music. When the music plays, bow down and worship. And, you know, we'll let bygones be bygones. The past will be forgotten. We'll move forward. And the Bible gives us some very clear words of what these three men said. And we find it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But," and I love this part, "but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Bible says this made the king even more furious. He ordered that the furnaces be heated up 7 times hotter than normal, and that strong men would bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and prepare to throw them into the fiery furnace. And what's really sad is that the Bible says when the soldiers threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, the heat was so strong that the soldiers who threw them in died from the heat. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace, and to everyone's amazement who is watching, they find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around in the fire. They're not being burned. And then what's even more amazing is there are a fourth person who appears with them. And King Nebuchadnezzar describes him as this: he looked like a son of the gods. He didn't have any understanding of who God was, but he understood that there must have been something about this man who had joined Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And so the king ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the fire. And when they did, the officials began to check them out. They investigated them, and they found this: that not one stitch of clothing had burned, not one hair on their head had been singed, and there was no smell of fire or smoke in them. And then King Nebuchadnezzar declared that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had rescued them. In fact, he passed a decree that nobody in the land could speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had lived a daring faith that day. They knew that God could rescue them, and they believed that God would rescue them. And it was a daring faith move. You see, we have made living a Christian life kind of safe in our Western North American culture. See, most Christians do not have the need for daring faith. We don't live in a place where we are faced with the idea that either we have faith or we die. We're not given that. We're not in that place where we're persecuted for our belief system. And so living here is kind of safe. But we have to understand that safe is not always what's great for us faith-wise. You see, where there's no faith, there's no hope. Where there's no faith, there are no miracles. Where there is no faith, there is no deep understanding. We need to step out in faith. We need to have a daring faith that believes God. Let me ask you, what battle are you facing today? What is it that you have need of faith for in your life? What is God doing in your life that requires you to have daring faith? What battle are you facing right now? We need to have daring faith today. We need to have daring faith for ourselves, and we need to have daring faith for our church. If you have your study guide, would you take it and turn to page 12 today? Because here's where there's some fill in the blanks as you follow along with us. I want to draw your attention today to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is called God's Hall of Fame. That's a nickname that we have for it. In this chapter, we are given the roll call of faith. We are told about the faith of the ancients. you will see that in this list of people who had faith, because God says, the writer of the Hebrews says, all of these had faith, and then he lists them. In all of them, not all of their stories turned out wonderful. Not all of them had what they believed for. Not all of them gained what they held on in daring faith for. Not yet. But these wonderful men and women of God were all commended for their faith. Let's see what this chapter, what their lives have to teach us about daring faith. Let's start with verse 1. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Means faith is visualizing the future in the present moment that you are living. You are seeing in advance. You are believing God, just like those men in the fiery furnace. They believed that God would and could deliver them from the fire. They believed for a future that they could not see right then. See, we live in a culture that tells us to believe it when we see it. But faith is taking us in a place that says, can you believe it before you can see it? Can you believe for it before you can experience it? There's a story told of Walt Disney. We all know that name Disney, don't we? But back in the 1940s and early 50s, he believed for a theme park in California. And the story goes, and I'm not sure how true it is, but the story goes that he would take people out to this empty piece of land and said, I see. And all of them said, I see that you're crazy. But he dared to believe it. Before he saw it, he saw something in the future and he dared to believe for it. See, faith requires us to trust God even when we don't see it. Another thing that faith teaches us is faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. The story of Noah told in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says this. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. See, nothing like a flood had ever happened before. In fact, a lot of scholars believe nothing like rain even happened before this flood of Noah's day. We believe that the earth was watered by the dew and by springs underneath, and it was watered underneath, and there was no need for the rain on top, and it was always peacefully and wonderfully done almost every day, probably. But here God says to Noah a couple things. I want you to build this big ark, this big boat in the middle of the desert, nowhere near water, and then you're going to believe for a flood and for rain, which he had never had. So he had to trust, he had to obey, he had to believe, he had to obey and believe for something he did not understand. We see the same thing about Abraham in verse 8. It was by faith that made Abraham, It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. He had to leave for a place that he did not know. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Abraham going out and meeting with God and God telling him, okay, just take everything you have, all your possessions, all your family, everything, all your herds, and you're going to leave your place that you've been all your life, and I'm going to take you to a place that you do not know. Can you imagine him going home to Sarah, his wife, and saying, dear, it's time to pack up the tent, fold it up, you know, pull everything off the shelves. It's time to put it all in boxes. We're going on a journey. We're going on a trip. We're moving. And she goes, okay, where? And he goes, I don't know. And where is this place and how are we going to get there? I don't know. How long will the journey take? I don't know. What will we find when we get there? I don't know. See, it's a total step of faith. He had to obey for what he did not understand, to have faith for what he did not understand. And that's what it is. See, stepping out in faith involves trusting God, even when we don't have all the answers about the journey. For most of us, it's God taking us out of our comfort zone. But that's what faith in God is. It's trusting him beyond our own comfortability. It's saying, I believe you, God, more than I believe in me. Another thing about faith is giving when I don't have it. See, faith and giving go together. We don't think about that much. We think, you know, faith is living for God, and giving is, well, we give our time, we give our money. But faith and giving go together. In fact, God often uses your finances to test your faith. What do I mean? Well, have you ever had to decide between paying a bill, maybe an unexpected bill, or giving your tithe to God, which belongs to him? If so, it's a moment of testing. God wants to see, do you have faith in him? See, we give either by fear or by faith. Giving by fear is when you look at your bank account, you look at your finances, and then once you look at that, you decide how much you want to give God. But living and giving by faith means I look to God and I say, God, how much do you want me to give to this? And then following through. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Hebrews 11:4 says this, it was faith that made Abel offer to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, he won God's approval. See, Abel gave God his offering in faith. It was the attitude of his giving. He made a better sacrifice, not because the sacrifice was better, but because his heart behind it was better. How are you giving to God? Do you give as an expression of faith, or do you give out of an obligation? Do you give with gratefulness, or do you give grudgingly? Do you give willingly, or do you give reluctantly? See, God's desire is that you would learn to give to him through an expression of faith that says, God, here it is for you. I trust you with the rest of my finances. Fourth thing that we see about faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Persisting when I don't feel like it. Faith is enduring. It's diligent. It's determined. It's the exact opposite of our culture. Our culture tells us to live by our feelings, and our faith says we live above our feelings. We don't ignore, we live above the feelings. Our feelings become subject to who God is. See, mature people live by their commitments, not by their feelings. I mean, if that were the case, there'd be many days many people would just not go to work. I mean, some of you are still working from home and you're not going to work, but you are going to work. But our feelings would say, I just feel like staying in bed, or I just feel like watching TV all day, or I'm going to watch movies all afternoon. But we have commitments. Christians live by the word and by Jesus' teaching. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus right now, I just want to remind you that the Bible, the word of God, is our instruction manual for life. In the Word is the life that we need. In the Word, we are taught how to live for God, how to follow what God's purposes and plans for our lives are. The Word is central to who we are as followers of Jesus. Jesus' teachings are in the Word. It's important that we understand that as Christians, our Christian life isn't based on our feelings. It's based on our faith in who God is, what God has done, and what God has said to us. And so we have feelings, and you're allowed to have feelings, and feelings do matter, but feelings do not control you. Let me give you some practical examples of what I mean. We just came through Summer Olympics a few months ago. We watched great Olympians compete worldwide stage. What makes them Olympians? It's the way they train. It's the way they prepare. It's their expertise. It's their skill. But it's also their commitment to their sport. I am sure that there are days when Olympians get up and train and practice and work hard, even though they don't feel like it. I'm sure there's many days an athlete has woke up and said, I am just too sore, I'm just too worn out, I'm just, yeah, everything from what I've done the last few days, I just want to take the week off. But they can't. They must train and prepare. We can see the same thing with great musicians. What makes a great musician a great musician? It's the hours of study and practice and honing their skill. And they do it on a regular daily basis to keep playing to their expertise. See, people who achieve great things do so by persisting through the tough times. They don't let the feelings put them down. Daring faith is doing the right thing even when you feel like giving up. You don't learn daring faith by obeying God when it suits you or when you feel like it. You live daring faith by believing God and trusting God every moment of the way. Now, how do you develop this kind of faith? Well, verse 27 tells us, it was by faith that he, Moses, left Egypt without fear of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like someone who could see the invisible. Here, I don't have time to unpack it, but Moses held to his purpose. Moses knew what his purpose was, and he went for it regardless. He didn't let the feelings dissuade him. He didn't let discouragement stop him. He was held to his purpose. He kept pushing forward. That's what we do. We hold to our purpose. We keep our eyes on God. We make God the focus of our attention. You live by what God says to you, by what he has purposed you to be. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. Thanking God before I receive it. Hebrews 11:30 says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Let me just tell you about Jericho if you don't know. Jericho is the first city that Joshua, as leader of the Israelites, after Moses dies, Joshua takes over. And the first obstacle they come to in the Promised Land is this great fortified walled city of Jericho. We're told that the walls were huge. They were humongous. They were wide and thick and high and strong. A fortified city, a walled city like that, was for protection. And here's a bunch of Israelites who have no army training in them, wandered the desert for the last 40 years. They come against this city, and Joshua doesn't know what to do, and God gives him a weird battle plan. He says, you're going to march around the city for 7 days, once a day for the first 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. And after the seventh time on the seventh day, the people are to shout, a shout of praise, a shout of victory, a shout of war cry, whatever you want that shout to be. But it was just a shout, giving God the honor and the glory, saying, God, this is what you said. This is what we're doing. So that's what they did, and they shouted. And when they shouted, the walls came down at God's command. See, faith is thanking God in advance for what you believe he is going to do. That's what Israel was doing. They marched around Jericho believing in thanks that God was going to do it. The last thing I want to share with you about faith today is this. Faith is trusting even if I don't get it. Faith is trusting even if I don't get it. See, God hears and answers every single prayer. We believe that God hears all of our prayers. The problem is God doesn't always answer the way we pray the answer for. Usually when we pray something, we pray with the anticipation of the answer we're expecting. God always answers. His answer is sometimes yes, sometimes it's no, and that's much to our disappointment. Sometimes it's wait. I think sometimes God has a chuckle and he goes, you're kidding, that's what you're asking me for? Sometimes God goes, I even have a better way for you. God always answers. The problem for us as people is we only think God answers when the answer is yes. But God has multiple answers he could give us. Imagine a parent and child relationship. A child is always asking and wanting things, right? But you, the parent, you know better. You know that they have to have a good diet, a balanced diet. You know that sometimes things that they want to do aren't safe for them. They're risky. They could be life-threatening. The parent makes sometimes an answer to the child's request that's not what the child wants, but you, the parent, know it's what's best for them because you always have their best interest at heart. Well, God always has your best interest at heart. And so faith is trusting even if I don't get it. You see, what is your response when God says no? That's the key. What is your response when God says no? Do you get upset? Do you throw a fit? Do you throw a tantrum? Do you say, that's it, God? I'm never doing anything you say. I'm never going to church. I'm never giving money. That's it. You know, you have a little fit, have a little moment. Or when God says no, do you say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you with this anyways. Hebrews 11 closes with a list of people who never received what they believed for. Many of them suffered for their faith, yet they all had daring faith. This is what Hebrews 11:38 says. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. See, living by faith does not exempt you from problems. See, anyone can trust God when things are going great. But what about when things are not so great? Can you trust God then? Faith is trusting God. And God will build your faith. He does it through two ways. He does it through his word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By hearing the word. That's the Bible, the word of God. Hear it. Read it. Understand it. Let it nourish your spirit. And second thing is not so popular. It's through trials and tests. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us, these trials are only to test your faith. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. See, testings are not made to break us. They are made to strengthen us. God always cares about you. Maybe you feel like giving up today. Maybe you're watching, you're saying, you know, I really wanted to give up. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I can trust God. I'm not sure if I can go another day. I don't know if I could believe his word over my feelings, but I want you to know that God loves you and cares for you, that you have to keep going. You have to keep trusting. You need to keep having faith in God because God loves you and cares for you. Or maybe you're watching or listening today and you say, you know what, we talk about faith in God, but I'm not sure I know God. Well, I want you to know that you can know God. You just simply have to believe that God is there, that he is who he said he is. He sent Jesus to the world. Jesus died for your sins. And you want to live to follow Jesus and follow his teachings. You want to live in this type of daring faith in God. If that's you, I invite you to pick up your phone and just text us. Just text the one word love to 416-267-1189. And if you follow those prompts for your name and contact info, we will reach back out to you. We want to walk in this journey of faith in God with you, and we want to be there to help you do that. So I want to remind you that faith can be exciting. Faith can be daring. That you can trust God in your faith. Just before I close in prayer, I want to remind you, if you look in your study guide on page 11, every week there's a memory verse. Just a verse that we ask you to put into your spirit, put in your memory, a verse that you will remember for all times. And this week, it's from Matthew 9:29, and it says this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So why don't you take that, like I said, it's on page 11. Remember that, put it on a card, walk around with it if you need to, look at it every day. Remember it when you do your devotions in the study guide every day this week. And remember, today is day one, so you'll want to start. If you haven't done it yet, you can pick it up anytime later today. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that we are encouraged to have daring faith, that you walk through life with us, that you love us and you care about us. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're so glad that you took time to be with us at Highway Online today. I trust that you are encouraged, that you will leave here with more faith, that you will go into this week with a stronger sense of God's presence in your life and your need to trust Him in all times and in all situations. Remind you, if you do live locally, the Highway Gospel Church building is open Sunday mornings at 10:30, and you are welcome to come and join us live. We do the similar teaching, and we have a live service, and all you need to do is go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, and register to reserve your free spot. COVID pandemic rules, we need to reserve spots and seating is limited because of spacing, but we encourage you to come and be with us. There's always room for more at Highway. Remember, Highway is a place to belong. God bless you. Have a great week.